This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu has given us a gift. He says, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. He is the one who has created you and has made for you hearing, sight, and intellect. Little thanks do you give. This gift of the intellect to man is one of man's superpowers. Allah subhanahu in the Quran gives descriptions for this superpower. He describes intellect in different ways. After talking about creating the heavens and the earth, and the variation of the night and the day, Allah subhanahu says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that in that there are signs for the people of intellect. And the word for intellect here in Arabic Allah uses is al-bab, which is the plural for the word lub. Lub means the essence of something. The substance itself when it's completely pure. So what Allah is saying here is that in that there are signs for people with pure intellect. Intellect that is pure from any traces of prejudice, bias, societal pressure. Intellect that is pure such that it is objective. So Allah subhanahu wants us to think for ourselves, to have this pure intellect that's not influenced by prejudice or bias or other external pressures, to use this gift that Allah has given us by turning to the first principles when we analyze things, to look at the premises of things, to look deeper into the causes and effects, the relationship that they have, and make decisions for ourselves. Also, when Allah subhanahu in another place describes intellect differently, after speaking about how He has spread the earth and how He has sent down rain, which then waters the earth and gives us vegetation and plants for us and our cattle to use, Allah subhanahu then says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِ النُّهَى. In that there are signs for people of intellect. But here Allah uses a different word. He doesn't say al-bab, but He says an-nuha. Nuha here gives us the meaning of nihaya, of the ending. So these are people of intellect who analyze the end results, look at consequences, look at what things lead to, look at the effects of the cause and effect relationships. And nuha also has with it the meaning of manahi, prohibition. So this is the strong intellect, the healthy intellect that allows the person to inhibit himself or herself from things that are evil. So Allah subhanahu has given us this beautiful gift, this intellect, and then He encourages us to use it in different ways and methods. Allah subhanahu wants us to develop our intellect just as we would with our muscles by exercising. So the more we use our intellect, the sharper and stronger it becomes. So throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu uses words to tell us to make tafakkur, to reflect, to make tadabbur, which is deep pondering. Tadabbur is when you have this deep pondering, but you do it about something or on something from all angles, from all sides. And Allah subhanahu then uses tadhakkur, which means to recollect, to remember these things. And that's from the power of the intellect. So Allah subhanahu wants us to deduce and induce and to use analogical deductions and reasoning. The reason that Allah subhanahu wants us to have a strong intellect is that this intellect that Allah has given us is a tool. that will help us be guided in this world to pass the test of this life, which is to worship Allah subhanahu. That by using this intellect, this pure intellect, this intellect that will inhibit us, this intellect that will get us and to draw the right conclusions, we're able to pass this test in this life. And so Allah subhanahu gives us a glimpse of the future when He talks about people who are entering the hellfire, that they didn't use this superpower. They abandoned the use of the intellect or its proper use. That when they're entering the hellfire, the angels speak to them and question them, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ? Didn't a warner come to you? Didn't you get the message? And their response before entering the hellfire would be, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُوا أَوْ نَعْقِلُوا مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. That they would say, if we listened to the prophets, or to the warners, if we only listened, if we only obeyed, and if we used our intellect, we would not be amongst the people of the blazing fire. So one of the reasons of entering the hellfire is if a person doesn't properly develop their intellectual capabilities and they don't use their intellect in the proper way. So Islam came for certain objectives. And one of the objectives that Islam came for is to protect the intellect, to safeguard this superpower. And it is for this reason that Allah subhanahu has prohibited the drinking of alcohol, wine, liquor, and beer. Because through these intoxicants, the intellect is compromised. The intellect becomes weaker. The intellect becomes diseased and becomes sick and is not able to operate properly. And so Islam, when we face life's challenges and difficulties and the ups and downs of life, Islam does not want us to grab a bottle and get drunk. What Islam wants us to do is to face these challenges head on and solve these problems in our lives by using our intellect. And when we do that, when we face these challenges and we don't look for an escape in a bar or in a bottle, and we see and recognize and deal with these challenges with our intellect, then we strengthen our intellect. And every time we overcome a problem or a challenge by using our intellectual reasoning and analysis, we develop further self-confidence where the next challenge that comes, it becomes easier to deal with that challenge. And as we deal with challenges that get bigger and bigger, because now we're training our intellect to deal with problems of life, as we're able to tackle even bigger challenges, we as individuals begin to grow so that we're able to do more, be more productive in our life. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu gave us this superpower, but we don't have to do this alone. We don't have to face these challenges just by our intellect. Allah subhanahu gives us an example in the Quran with Prophet Jacob, who lost his son, Prophet Joseph, alayhi salam. And he was grieving to the degree that he became blind. This challenge of losing your son, this grief. So the Prophet Jacob used his intellect to deal with the issue, but he didn't do it alone. He said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, I complain about my anguish and my sorrow only to Allah subhanahu. So while we're dealing with these challenges by using our reasoning and rationalizing the best way out of these problems or challenges, we don't do it alone. We turn to Allah subhanahu. So by avoiding the booze and getting drunk, and sometimes some people face challenges by getting drunk for days, sometimes for years, Sometimes they're hoping to escape the problem and it just doesn't go away and they get drunk even more and their lives start to fall apart from all directions. Islam wants us to protect our intellect. Islam wants us to strengthen our intellect. Islam wants us to deal with life's challenges. Islam wants us not to do it alone, but to do it by connecting and complaining to Allah subhanahu, going into sujood and begging Him for the way out. So what happens? What is the end result? The person's intellect becomes stronger. He develops a stronger emotional intelligence with his connection and relationship with Allah. He's able to manage his emotions. He's not a firecracker, or he's not someone that becomes down and not able to ever get up and his whole life is destroyed. So at the end, by avoiding alcohol as an escape or a solution to life's problems, the believer, the parent, the person, the entrepreneur, the leader becomes stronger in their intellect and their handling of their emotions. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فإنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. In the early 1900s, the societies in the United States of America intellectually came to the conclusion that drinking alcohol, beer, wine, and liquor is an evil. To the degree that they passed legislation by a super majority vote in the House and the Senate to ban and prohibit the manufacture, the exportation, importation, the transportation, and the sale of all intoxicating alcohols. As this was passed in 1920, the amount of drinking declined. And when the amount of drinking alcohol declined, they noticed the health of people got better. There was a decline in the cirrhosis of liver, people having problems with their liver. There was a decline in infant mortality. There was a decline in alcoholic psychosis. So people overall were getting better. However, the ban didn't explicitly say that you can't drink alcohol, you can't consume alcohol. So people started making alcohol illegally in their homes. And the result was that people were not skilled in making alcohol, so they were not distilling alcohol properly. And so people started dying by poisoning themselves. It's been recorded that there were about 10,000 deaths just because of people making alcohol in their homes. Then black markets rose, where people were selling alcohol illegally. And when black markets appear, crime also goes up. The U.S. government then spent $300 million to try to enforce the prohibition of drinking alcohol. For 13 years, this went on until 1933, after spending millions of dollars and thousands of deaths due to not properly distilling alcohol, and then deaths because of the crime that is caused because of the sale in the black market. You've probably heard of Al Capone. The U.S. government then passed an amendment to repeal the 18th Amendment of the Constitution, which banned the sale of alcohol, to allow it once more. This is a case in point for people who say, we don't need religion, we don't need belief, we don't need faith, we are intelligent human beings, we can figure out what's right or wrong. This is a case in point because the societies overwhelmingly identified intellectually that drinking alcohol was an evil. But in 13 years and after millions of dollars and thousands of deaths, they were not able to maintain that prohibition. And that was because one very important thing was missing. That it was not done out of the love for Allah subhanahu. For any prohibition to be successful, it has to be done out of belief, out of emotion, out of this love for Allah, which drives and creates this energy to withstand the temptation of, oh, I can now make alcohol at my house. Oh, I can now be a millionaire by selling alcohol in the black market. Or caving into pressure and repealing the amendment. What was missing here was that key ingredient. And the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they used to drink wine more than water, and then the prohibition came, where Allah mentioned that shaitan uses the drinking of khamr, intoxicants, drugs, wine, liquor, beer, marijuana, it's all under khamr, as tools to create al-adawatu wal-baghda, to create enmity and hatred, so that shaitan can block you from the remembrance of Allah, and shaitan can block you from making the formal prayer, salah. And then Allah said, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you not then abstain? That one verse caused people to take their barrels of wine and overthrow it in the streets. There was no need to spend $300 million to enforce it. There were no thousands of deaths for the prohibition of what's known as Ummul Khaba'ith, the mother of all evils, this alcohol. Simply because what was inculcated in their hearts was the love of Allah, which is the understanding of Allahu Akbar, that Allah is greater than everything and anything. So I am leaving this not because it's a mandate or a rule in the constitution or a law on the land. I am leaving it out of the love of my creator, because he will only command and prohibit what benefits me. And so we learn from this that if we teach our children or if we give da'wah to others, that we can't just make it completely rule-based. It can't just be a bunch of do's and don'ts without its core, which is the tawheed of Allah, the love for Allah, and the worship of Allah, wahdahu la sharika lah. I ask Allah subhanahu jalla wa ala to make us amongst those who are ulil albab and ulil nuha. Allahumma ja'alna min ibadika as-salihin al-mukhrasin. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة